Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It is one heck of a football weekend with some October drama from the baseball diamond.
Anticipatory thrower.
All right, it's my new favorite phrase, but I got to work anticipatory into conversation without thrower, right? So that's part of the deal, is I got to be able to work it into a sentence and not be a sports reference.
When that happens is a component of the consideration.
Both Mike Tomlin and Dan Campbell, as well as Mike McDaniel, also, I mean, Matt LaFleur is generally kind of, I don't want to say boring, but vanilla. He's more vanilla than these others. These are all guys that we relish hearing from over the course of the week. by the way, I don't know if you saw this, producer Pete, but it was kind of neat going back to last week in the Lions win. It was such a lopsided affair in Dallas, and so much was made of the Cowboys and the disaster that was, and also the loss of Aiden Hutchinson. And so you end up with those two storylines really, kind of, I would say, dominating as opposed to what the Lions did on the field. Clearly a pricey loss for them with Aiden Hutchinson, and we'll see what that defense looks like moving forward. But I'd seen it all week, and now it's on CW as part of the NFL Mic'd Up, you know, the NFL show that they have every week. They actually have the injury on the field and the audio from the interaction. Right, so I don't know if they have the audio of him getting hurt, but he did seem to say that it was broken. But they do have the interaction with trainers and staff there on the field. But also in the locker room after the game, Dan Campbell had distributed the game balls for the various players. And as he walks out of the middle of the circle, Jared Goff steps in. It's like, wait. We've got one more. And he's got a game ball for Dan Campbell, which is really neat. You can tell that locker room has a special chemistry. And I know chemistry is this ethereal type of quality. Winning doesn't automatically breed chemistry. And putting a bunch of talented athletes together doesn't automatically breed chemistry. It's really about the people that you have in your locker room or in your clubhouse caring more about the guy on the left and the guy on the right, or the girl on the left and the girl on the right, than they do about their own personal goals. And it's about that type of relationship. And even if you don't get along necessarily, it's a corporate synergy where everybody is all in on the same page. And the Lions have certainly discovered that. And it's just amazing to see how much they love Dan Campbell. You know, his personality is very different from Andy Reid, but it's the same type of thing with Andy Reid, right? Guys who play for Andy, they rave about him, even though, again, Campbell's super intense and he's a guy who, you know, you want to run through a wall for, whereas Andy Reid is much more laid back, but still the relationships that develop. I think it's fascinating the teams that come up with this chemistry from year to year, but the Lions are building on what they had in the past. So I just thought that was a really neat moment from this CW show where they were inside the Lions locker room and they want to make sure they give Dan Campbell a game ball. And so Jared Goff stops everybody. He's like, wait, 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 there's one more. So it's kind of neat.
Yeah, you could tell that they love playing for him. He's very good for them.
Mm. Oh, he's changed everything in Detroit.
I think he's done a hell of a job. I think the one Achilles heel for him right now, and I think he'll be able to overcome it, is the difference between being aggressive and being reckless in playoff games. And in that playoff game last year, he was reckless in terms of his coaching, and it cost him the game. And I think he has to find that balance of being aggressive, being aggressive and not reckless.
Well, and he stays true to form for a lot of the time. I mean, he is aggressive. That's his MO. Yes. No team goes for it on fourth down more than the Detroit Lions, and they do have the personnel to get to. But as you point out, sometimes this is feel and it's situational, and he'd not been in that situation before. And so I dare say, just like players, coaches have to learn from their mistakes and their errors. We're going to get to football, the kickoff of week 7 coming up in our next segment. So about, we'll call it 15 minutes from now. This is the question of the hour, by the way, Pete. You don't have to answer now. I want you to think about it. Are you ready? Keith on our Facebook page, are Marco Belletti and your new producer, Pete, related? You don't have to answer now. You can think about it. Look at the family tree. Consider. Maybe, just maybe there's a tie there between Marco Belletti and Pete Belotti.
A lot of vowels.
Both Italian.
Yes.
Yes. Actually, that makes three of us because I'm also Italian.
No
Love it.
No shortage of pasta dishes around this.
Oh, so good. So good. In fact, that may be the meal of choice on Saturday because we've got some stuffed meatballs in the freezer. Oh. And it's not as much about the pasta as it is about wanting to eat the stuffed meatballs. So chicken mozzarella meatballs. Well, yummy.
My kids love eating pasta. So pasta is usually on the menu every night in some form, as a side, as a
every
as a
night.
Main.
Huh? Now, do you let them play with marinara sauce? Because I can imagine it would get all over the place with your daughter.
Well, yeah, she does, but she doesn't get that bad. Timmy, good. I felt like got a little worse with it when he was little.
It was like in his hair.
Yeah. Hers is just face and on the dress and everything.
That's amazing. Good to be Italian. Family stuff. Family pasta dinners. It's amazing. All right, so we're talking about the Lions. The show, by the way, is Inside the NFL on CW, and every week they have a mic'd up. Well, it's actually most of the show is players and coaches being mic'd up, and they go from game to game to game. They take you in locker rooms that you get to hear what's happening on the field. It's a terrific show, and I think it's only on the CW now as the last couple of years, but it's been very popular for that network.
Next month, this is my wall.
Remember when Dan Campbell was hawking Applebee's? So that's one of our games of the week, this NFC North clash. It is Lions at Vikings. So Vikings coming off of a bye week. They're 5-0, and that right now is a choice. Is it your game of the week, or would you go Chiefs-Niners, Texans-Packers, Ravens-Bucks is a battle of first-place teams as well? At Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page named after the show, 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. Now, before we get back to football, it is October, you know, and diamonds are a girl's best friend. And if you did not watch Game 3 between the Yankees and the Guardians on the shores of Lake Erie, this one was motoring along like it generally does for the Cleveland Guardians. They put a couple runs on the board, right? They're not a huge offensive scoring team. Put a couple of runs on the board, and they get as much as they can from their starter and then hand off to their world-class bullpen. Well, that was the formula. That's where they were in the top of the eighth inning, leading 3-1 with none other than closer extraordinaire Emmanuel Clause on the mound.
And the 1-2 swung on and drilled to right field. That ball is going to be gone. It was a line drive and it went over the right field fence. It's a judgy and blast. The Yankee dugout goes nuts. They're all on the field. A two-run home run to tie the game the opposite way. The Judgian blast. And all rise. There comes the judge. 1-2. Swung on and hit in the air to center field and deep. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Stanton and Judge have hit home runs, a back-to-back and a belly-to-belly.
Oh, no.
And the Yankees take the lead. Giancarlo, non si può stopparlo. He homers and he and Judge hit him back-to-back. And the Yankees now take a 4-3 lead.
I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be Italian. John Sterling's pounding on the desk in front of him, too. He gets very excited. I think there is a John Sterling cam for some of these big games when he makes these big calls. And for both Giancarlo and Judge before him, these were line drive home runs. They barely got over the yellow line that's at the front of that wall, so closest to the fielders. In each case, you weren't exactly sure it was going to be a home run when it left the bat, and it just cleared. In fact, they both bounced on top of the wall, just clearing the yellow lines. Able to then tack on what is a sacrifice fly in the top of the ninth. So now Guardians are on the verge of going down in this series 3-0 or 0-3, whichever. And they're hanging on for dear life, right? But what we saw in the bottom of the ninth and the bottom of the tenth, terrific. Just great drama, great theater. The Guardians, I feel like, have had their share of moments already this postseason, but they had more in store, including one rookie pinch hitter who maybe had 12, 13 home runs this season.
John Kenzie Noel's last home run came against Pittsburgh August 30th.
Yeah.
No time like the present. 5-3 Yankees, runner at second, two down, ninth inning, and the 1-0 pitch. Swung on and hammered, high, deep to left, away out of here!
We forgot to fade those out. Tom Hamilton is amazing. The voice of the Cleveland Guardians, longtime voice of Cleveland baseball, and he crushes these moments. Incredible. But behind him, even as Tom's call is playing out, you hear the utter mayhem at Progressive Field. It was amazing. I actually rewound the moment and watched it a second time on my DVR because I love the celebration there among Guardians fans in Cleveland. So that was one thing. They send it into extra innings, and just as a side note, I am really, really grateful that we do not get that gimmicky phantom runner on second base automatically in extra innings. It drives me batty, as if somehow these big leaguers can't score runs in extra innings unless they have a phantom runner. But I digress. They were smart enough to eliminate it in the postseason, so that's how you know it's a major gimmick. And once again, big fly in the bottom of the 10th for the home team.
Cleveland down 2-0. 5-5 in the 10th. Holmes is ready. Here it comes. Swung on, hit high, hit deep to left. There she goes! How about that? A walk-off two-run home run to the bleachers in left by David Fry. And the magical 2024 season is not done by any means. Cleveland with a 7-5 10th inning win. And David Fry, who saved the season in game four with a pinch hit, two-run home run late in the game off the Tigers, has won it here tonight with a two-out, two-strike, two-run home run to left.
Not many times do I know it's going to leave here, but I had a good feeling that one was going, and yeah, it felt really good.
David Fry on MLB Network after the game, and he was interviewed on the field as well. And while he was getting interviewed by, this one was on TBS, right? I think it was on TBS. I get confused which networks are which. But as he's getting interviewed, they dump water on him, which of course then goes all over the reporter. And is it Lauren Jihadi? Is that who it is?
Who? I think this one was Lauren Gardner.
Okay, I'm going to have to look because I stink at this. I don't pay much attention. No, this is Brunette.
Okay.
Anyway,
wasn't long gone.
We'll look her up. She got doused as well, and I thought it was really nice of David. He says, "Are you okay?" She was in the firing zone, the splash zone, I guess it is, if you're watching something like Nickelodeon. But what a moment for David Fry. And yeah, Tom Hamilton reminds us of the big home run he had in the Tiger series and how phenomenal that was. And as much as the Yankees see this victory kind of snatched away from them after they rallied to take the lead in the top of the eighth and then tack on a run in the top of the ninth, I do appreciate that these guys are not going to be upset about this game because this was epic. It was one of those Broadway shows that keeps you guessing the whole time.
I would just say it's a baseball game right there. You know, it's, you know, like I said, I wish we were on the other end of it, but you know, just back and forth. Guys having great at-bats when they needed to. Pitchers coming up in some big spots. And like I said, now we focus on game four.
I don't know if it gets much better than that. Two of the best closers in the game right now. You know, you get to them. That doesn't happen hardly ever. And I think there's one person that could hit that pitch off Emmanuel Clase out of the yard, and he did. And as a baseball fan, it was really cool. As the opposing manager, it was not. But... just what a fun baseball game for two really good teams.
No doubt. Stephen Vogt, man, he has pushed the right buttons. There's a couple of gambles he's taken that haven't worked out for him with the pitching staff. And obviously, Emmanuel Clase is the story and the Yankees getting to him if they don't end up coming back with the win against Clay Holmes for Aaron Boone. So Holmes is out there in the 10th, and he's having to make these choices too. But thinking about Vogt putting in Jackenzie Noel in that moment as a rookie pinch hitter and hasn't had a home run since August, and he comes up with a no-doubter. I mean, it was a massive blast, and that whole place went crazy. It was amazing. Yeah, so for Aaron Boone, Clay Holmes turned out to be the guy who gives up those runs in the 10th.
I thought Clay was pretty sharp and then just left one up that Fry was able to elevate. So, you know. Sucks losing like that, obviously, but, you know, kind of a classic game.
Definitely a classic game. By the way, I was right. Always go with your first answer. Lauren Jihadi is the brunette, good at her job, sideline reporter, and she got doused with it was Gatorade, but it wasn't. It was an ice bucket, just in a Gatorade bucket. So this is a series now that goes Friday, and it's the later game on Friday, but you've got now the Guardians right back into it with all kinds of life and energy. Meanwhile, you've got the Dodgers who are sitting on this third win against the Mets and could close out the NLCS on Friday night.
Mookie's 1-for-2 with a base hit and run score. Make it 2-for-3. Takes one to left field. This ball's going to get all the way to the wall. Nimmo with his bad foot just got it. Here comes Ohtani scoring from first. Mookie Betts delivers a two-run double. Make it 5-2 Dodgers. Now Maton's 2-2. Betts swings, hits a high fly ball left field, going back Nimmo on the track, at the wall, it is out of here! Mookie Betts, watch that one fly from the batter's box, admiring a two-run blast. Second time tonight, the Mets go to the bullpen for Mookie, and he makes them pay. Mookie with his third hit of the night, third home run of the postseason. And it's now 7-2 Dodgers.
Mookie Betts and his megawatt smile is all the way back. Remember how he started 0 for 17 or something like that? Yeah, that's not even a thing anymore. 4 of 6 in this game, 4 RBI, 3 runs scored, and behind Shohei Ohtani, who actually led off the game with a home run, that power is back. But it's not just them. They're getting production from the heart of the order too, Tommy Edman, as well as Kike Hernandez. These guys, for whatever reason, they excel in October. And here are these Dodgers, just one win away from getting back to the World Series.
It feels good. I think that we've done a good job putting ourselves in this position. I sort of like the us against the world attitude that our guys have sort of taken on. I think that's kind of ironic, you know, with the Dodgers, but I like that.
The one word I can think of the 2024 Mets, other than grimace, is resiliency. Like, I mean, that's just who we are. Like, we have fun, we enjoy the moment, but at the end of the day, like, we're a resilient bunch, and we respond in a very positive way.
Pete Alonso and the playoff pumpkin, magical, miraculous Mets are down to their last game, but we've seen them in this position before. They do tend to fight harder, fight a little bit differently when they are down and almost out, not quite, right? So Dodgers, and by the way, the Steven Nelson on Dodgers radio got more than enough offense to support their starting pitcher and then on into their bullpen. So it's Yamamoto who ends up with 8 strikeouts and navigates some traffic. Mets, they just are missing out on the opportunities. 0 for 10 with runners in scoring position. And also, this wasn't just Jose Quintana, their starter, but they issue another, 9 walks? 9 walks to the Dodgers in game number 4. And that's tough to recover from when you're facing a lineup as potent as LA. So I kind of feel like, credit the Dodgers for what they've done, but the Mets have not yet put themselves in a position to win. The way that they've pitched, all the walks they've issued, the lack of the big hits when they desperately need them, they've had plenty of chances to make this a more even series and have it to this point. And when we started the show, I had to ask producer Pete why he was cranky. He wasn't smiling. He wasn't communicating. He was anticipatory for another loss for the Mets on Friday and the Dodgers moving on, but that's not what Pete Alonso says.
Well, this is what they do. It's what they do to me. I wrote them off.
I mean, you could always cheer for the Yankees.
No. It will not happen. I wrote them off at the beginning of the year. Then they pulled me back in. And you're in NLCS thinking they have a shot. And then the last few days have been been just terrible baseball by them. And I think tired baseball. I think they've lost some steam.
Well, remember the end of their regular season. It was almost 2 weeks on the road. They had to go from Atlanta to Milwaukee, right, back to Atlanta, then back to Milwaukee. They finally get home after L.A. But, yeah, so it's been a lot for them, that's for sure. But they've also had a terrific ride to this point.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
So we'll see what happens. Okay, we kicked off week number 7. We also had a revealing conversation with one Raiders insider who tells us that Devontae Adams and the Raiders were always headed for divorce. It's been heading this way for a while. Thanks for hanging out with us at A-Law Radio, our Facebook page, too, to vote for the After Hours Game of the Week on this Friday on the Infinity Sports Network.
Denver up 26-3. Blitz on the way. Rattler's in trouble. Pulled down as he throws, and this ball knocked up into the air and deflected and picked off by Cody Barton. Barton looking backwards into the end zone. That is a Denver touchdown. Jaquan McMillan got there on Spencer Rattler, deflected the football up into the air, and Cody Barton picked it off in the air. And the Broncos add to their lead. It's now 32-3.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dave Logan on Broncos Radio. It was a lopsided affair, that's for sure. And it happened on the night in which they honored Drew Brees at the Superdome. partly because Sean Payton was returning to New Orleans, now as the head coach of the Broncos. But man, the memories he's had there, of course, the Super Bowl win, but not just that, the city rallying around the team and the team offering hope in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. And even though he's not there anymore, you could tell they love him and he loves them. And the Broncos actually gave him a game ball for his triumphant return.
There were a lot of, you know, moments here, and you get a chance to see old players that are, you know, that are here, and then to be with this team and this ownership group, it's the reason you miss it. You know, the 1 year out, and you miss relationships, and you miss making memories. It's like I told him a couple weeks ago, Sertan's interception, you know, right in front of our bench. There'll be a day when I don't remember his name, and, you know, I'm having applesauce out of a straw, but I'll remember that play. And so that part of it, being around young people and having a chance to be part of their journey and coach them is a pretty good job, and I'm thankful for it. So, yeah, it was kind of emotional.
I can imagine the whole scene on Amazon Prime, though. I don't know how many people stuck around for the end, considering that it was a mess. The Saints, they have a laundry list of guys they're missing because of injuries, and it's not going to get easier anytime soon. Rashid Shaheed now out for the season after having his MCL surgery. At A-Law Radio, what is the After Hours game of the week? On our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Those are the spots where you can find our podcast, which will be available just minutes after the show, including our full conversation with SI Raiders insider Hondo Carpenter. We're just going to give you a couple of the questions, and this has to do with Davante Adams. I asked him, in the wake of the trade and everything else that's happened with the Raiders to start this season, what's the temperature in the room?
I think they're excited. I don't have my notes right here, Amy, but I don't remember if it was the 6th, 7th, or 8th week of Davante Adams' first season. There were signs that this was coming. In fact, it had not stopped. It had kept growing and growing throughout even the off season, so much so that I believe the night was August 17th of this summer when the Raiders were about to play the Cowboys. I put a tweet out to asking Raider fans to bookmark this tweet that tonight was going to, in a big way, impact the season. I wasn't going to discuss it at this point, but please bookmark this tweet. I'll be back. And it was specifically about Davante Adams. I'm not speaking ill of Davante as a man. He's a great husband, good father. But this was not a relationship that was going to work. This was not a good relationship for the Raiders especially. And I don't know anyone. I'm sure there may be one person or two, but I don't know anyone genuinely even upset that Devontae's no longer wearing the silver and black.
Why? Why wasn't that relationship one that was profitable for the two sides?
A couple of things, and I'm going to be writing a very in-depth article going back to that first moment and giving a lot of details of why this marriage was toxic, in my opinion.
Okay.
Any relationship, whether it's business or marriage or anything, if you don't have two parties that mutually have the same goal, it's not going to work. And that was, this marriage was not one where everybody was on the same page. And I'm going to say this to you. I have never been hesitant, and you know this, and you can tell your listeners, to be critical of the Raiders when it was necessary. I believe 100%, and we're going to write about it, this divorce happened, and I think the Raiders were right in heart. Now, I think management and leadership probably could have recognized it earlier, but I think there were a lot of reasons, of which I'm going to share why they didn't. I think the Raider organization, the way that they are now with Tom Telesco and Mark Davis and Antonio Pierce, were all in. And I don't think it's possible when two parties aren't going in the same direction. And so when that happens, it really puts a kink in any type of relationship. I don't wish Davante evil. I don't wish him bad. But I had a conversation with him that was private back in when the Raiders beat the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. And I'm going to share it as part of this article, and I think it'll put everything in perspective. But, you know, he wanted to be with Aaron, and he got his wish. You lose a man that is incredibly talented. I don't know that there is a more talented from the standpoint of things that only God can give talent-wise. I don't think there's a more talented receiver in the NFL. But talent doesn't make a great football player on a football team. I think that there were reasons to believe that Devontae, while incredibly talented and a good human being, I'm not trashing the man, probably, in my opinion, was not the best teammate for the Raider organization and his teammates.
Did this have anything to do with how the organization parted ways with Derek Carr, who's obviously one of his best friends?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay.
And when I write my article that'll come out the bye week, I'm going to go back to something that happened that first clicked me off. And again, I don't remember if it was the fifth, sixth, seventh, or eighth game. I don't have my notes right here, but I'm working at this very in-depth article. That was when I first got tipped off that there was a problem. And I got tipped off by a member of the organization about something. And I'm like, wow. And I was stunned. And you may remember after Derek left, Devontae's comments went viral about wanting to be a Raider. Well, I'm the one that asked them, if they can get you somebody that will get you the ball, do you want to remain? It goes much deeper, and we're going to lay it all on the table for everybody. And I'm the one who a year before he came wrote that he was coming. At the combine before he signed, I talked about him coming. We're the ones that from the beginning were leading all of the reporting on Devontae, and I think our final article will be an exclamation point on his career. Not his career, but his time with the Raiders.
I'm looking forward to that. But it sounds like this wasn't just because of how they started this season. It wasn't actually anything to do with Derek Carr, which I thought it was, at least a factor. And so Devontae Adams gone, wanted to play with Aaron, and the Raiders are not unhappy about it and maybe should have made the move sooner. There's a lot more with Hondo Carpenter. I asked him about the quarterbacks this season. His answer may surprise you. Also talked about Max Crosby and the trade rumors and then what it's like to have Tom Brady in the building. So good stuff. Make sure you grab that from our podcast After Hours with Amy Lawrence. But the link is posted on both of our social media sites. Even as we get off the air and get into a weekend, we don't go without leaving you the podcast. It cracks me up, Pete. Every single day, someone replies to the link. So I put the post up on social. You put it on Twix. I put it on Facebook page. Every single day, someone replies to the actual link. Hey, I didn't have a chance to listen. Is there a place that I can get this? Or do you have a podcast? All right. Well, just educating the peeps one listener at a time. All right, coming up, a little QB news. Oh, it's new. And the Steelers, they may be going to something new. Anticipatory. That's how you feel right now.
Anticipatory thrower?
No, just anticipatory. That's how you feel. Well, I'm an anticipatory thrower as I throw to the update, and then it'll throw back to us eventually.
Anticipatory thrower?
Yeah, that's me. Here's our latest sports update, and I'm throwing to Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
We begin with Game 4 of the NLCS in New York.
Ready for the 0-1. Here it comes from Young. Edmund swings, pulls it down the line. Fair ball into the corner. Mookie's going to score easily. Kiermaier coming around behind him. Mookie got to speed up. Kiermaier's going to catch him. It's a two-run double for Tommy Edmund. Tommy two times for a second time. He's got three RBI, and the Dodgers push the lead. It's now 9-2 L.A.
Steven Nelson on Dodgers radio. The Dodgers beat the Mets 10-2, and they take a 3-1 series lead. Mookie Betts, four RBI, including a two-run homer. Game 5 Friday, 5:08 p.m. Eastern time at Citi Field in New York. Now to Cleveland, Game 3 of the ALCS. Yankees led the Guardians 5-3 with two outs in the bottom of the ninth, but John Kinsey Noel hit a pinch-hit two-run homer to tie the game. And then in the 10th,
swung on, hit high, hit deep to left.
Tom Hamilton on Guardians Radio. The Guardians win 7-5 in 10 innings, cutting the Yankees' lead in the series to 2-1. Game 4 Friday in Cleveland, 8:08 p.m. Eastern Time. Thursday night football, Broncos over the Saints 33-10. Javonte Williams rushed 14 times for 88 yards and 2 touchdowns. NHL, Kraken over the Flyers 6-4. Blackhawks 4, Sharks 2. Oilers 4, Predators 2. Blue Jackets over the Sabres 6-4. Rangers 5, Red Wings 2. In overtime, Blues over the Islanders 1-0. Capitals 3, Stars 2. In overtime, Canucks 3, Panthers 2. Lightning 4, Golden Knights 3. The Kings over the Canadiens 4-1. The Devils beat the Senators 3-1. College basketball, Virginia men's head coach Tony Bennett to announce his immediate retirement on Friday. It's not believed to be a health-related retirement. I'm Peter Schwartz.
The Infinity Sports Network is on your smart speaker. All you have to say is, play Infinity Sports Network. That's it. Play Infinity Sports Network.
Mahomes gunning it long. Coming down the near side. The pass is caught. Touchdown! Kansas City!
Three steps, throwing, Love. Left corner of the end zone. Touchdown!
Play action, Love. Looking, winds up. There rainbows. Is. Watson there. Touchdown!
Yes!
And a Lambo leap.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Because we're getting you set for week 7 of the NFL season. And if you missed our preview of the top two college games this weekend, well, we did that as well earlier. Podcast it, baby. Podcast it. Broncos start out week 7 with a win. Bo Nix, well, he's still a wild ride. Rookies giveth and they taketh away. He goes 16 of 26, 164 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, and no fumbles. So I suppose he's right there, kind of a flat line. Now, the Broncos did run for 225 yards. Javonte Williams with a pair of touchdowns, so they'll take the win.
We got to turn some of those field goals into touchdowns, but it was good. We got points early, moved the ball early, got a first down, you know, on the first play, and that's important for us, and our defense played solid as always. So, you know, we played well overall. We ran the ball for, you know, a lot of yards, and that helps all the time.
Broncos now sit at 4-3 above 500. Of course, everyone in the division, the AFC West, is looking up at the Kansas City Chiefs, who are still undefeated. Coming off their bye week, they've got a challenge on the road against the San Francisco 49ers. And this is one of the options for After Hours Game of the Week. And yeah, Patrick Mahomes, he knows they've had some success against this team. Duh.
You have two great football teams that meet up in the Super Bowl and meet up in all these big games. There's going to be a history between that. And so, obviously, we've been able to win those games, but we know how good this football team is, and we have a ton of respect for them. And so it's not like one play couldn't have changed all these football games. And so we're going with that mindset of we just got to make the plays whenever they count.
Wouldn't it be cool to say, hey, Pete, Andy Reid is a big fan of yours? Oh, see, that'd be awesome. I wish Andy Reid was a big fan of mine. Maybe he just needs to be introduced to our show. Well, he is a big fan of Brock Purdy, the quarterback for the Niners.
I think he's a heck of a player. I remember the head coach at Iowa State saying this guy changed the program around. And when you make a statement like that, and he's a good football coach, when you make a statement like that, that's bold. We all see why he said it. You know, he was right on with that.
So the Niners are coming off that mini bye after playing Thursday Night Football Week 6, in which they were finally able to hold a lead against an NFC West team. But the Chiefs are a decidedly different story. This is going to be a terrific nationally televised game with a lot of eyeballs. So make sure you check it out. We'll talk about it come Sunday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence and QB News as we talk about Week 7. The Steelers take on the Jets, who now have Davante Adams, but actually we're looking at the offense for Pittsburgh making a change. Russell Wilson is moving into that QB1 spot.
I'm more myself, physically being able to run and all that stuff, so I feel good. It's been a great week so far, and we're just excited to play, you know, on Sunday night, obviously at home in front of our fans.
Justin Fields has got to be disappointed in this decision, obviously. And Mike Tomlin looking for a bit of a spark. Of course, they're not the same guy. Russell Wilson doesn't make plays with his legs the way that Justin does. And Russell, he's complimenting Justin. I think probably understands what it feels like to be in his shoes.
I think Justin's done a great job. I think he's a tremendous quarterback. I've gone against him over the years. He's a tremendous football player, a great teammate. And all that. And I think more importantly for us, as we continue to go on through the season, we want to get better and continue to grow. That's always the goal every year, right? Is continue to progress, to continue to get better from game in to game out.
This is the Sunday night game. It's the Sunday night game. So, yes, Russell Wilson likely making his first start of the season, while Justin Fields, well, he understands it's a missed opportunity, kind of gone by.
I don't think I played, you know, good enough. If I'm being real with you, if I'm being real with myself, I think if, you know, I did play well enough, I don't think there would be, you know, any sort of who should be playing, who should not. So at the end of the day, you know, we got a few wins. Of course, I'm glad about that, but there's areas that, you know, I could be better at, and you know, I'm just gonna, you know, continue to work on those and continue to get better.
Yeah, I mean, there's no guarantee that Russell Wilson will be the starter the rest of the year, that he will remain healthy. And so you've got a 35 and a 40-year-old quarterback starting in the same game on Sunday Night Football. Wowzers. By the way, did you know Devontae Adams is living with Aaron Rodgers right now? That's fun. Good thing they like each other. So that's a game that we did not put in the poll because, well, for obvious reasons. But we'll see. The Steelers could desperately use a win in that one, but so could the Jets. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, they're getting a lot of chatter about best team in the AFC or best competition for those Kansas City Chiefs. And he's getting a lot of chatter about potentially another MVP, which, for heaven's sakes, it's week number 7. But as the Ravens go on the road against the Buccaneers, another first place team, he's got to answer these questions about this kind of football he's playing.
I really don't care about the hype, you know, and not just being on two. I just know how the NFL works. You know, it's it any given Sunday. So I'm not going to dwell on an MVP trophy or anything like that. I never have, you know, even when I won it, I never, like, dwelled on it. It was about me just trying to win each and every game I'm in. And same thing from now. You know, I'm still trying to win these games to get to February and win in February.
Well, that is the goal. He wants to be a billionaire and he wants to be a champion. We've heard that from him going way back. All right, one more, and this is Colts and Anthony Richardson. He's had a hard time sitting out, but should be back on the field in week 7.
It is a little tough, you know, because everybody wants to play football. We love playing football, so that's kind of sad when, you know, that's taken away from us. But, you know, it's all part of the journey. You know, I'm trusting the staff, trusting the team, you know, and hopefully this week I'm out there.
A lot of unrealized potential at this point with Anthony Richardson, and still a lot of questions, too, because we've only seen him for a handful of games. He's obviously a big physical specimen. He's got unique talents and abilities, but he's got to be able to protect himself and not take all of these hits because it'll end his career even more quickly. But Joe Flacco, you know. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, and make sure on Twix you find that poll as well. The game of the week, you get to choose. I got to tell you, I would never have thought that Chiefs and Niners would not be the front runner, but there is a new sheriff in town, and there are a lot of people that are excited about Lions and Vikings this weekend. So make sure you check out that poll and you can cast your ballot. It runs through the start of the games coming up on Sunday. Although there is another London game. We don't include that one. Why is it that we send some of our worst football to London? Actually, it's great that way, because then they don't expect a Super Bowl. This is what you get. You get what you get, and you don't get upset. So, Pete, as soon as we log out here and we skedaddle from the studio, I have to head down to my car. I'm hoping it doesn't smell. Would you like to know why? In my car.
Goods.
No, not baked goods. Actually, that would smell pretty good. In my car, because I'm headed to the grocery store, is a half gallon of sour milk.
Oh.
It's dated October 22nd, and we opened it up yesterday morning, and the smell, it reeked. And so I have to take it to the grocery store, but I wasn't going to go home and get it and come back. So it's been sitting in my car all night. It's in a cooler bag with an ice pack, but let's hope it doesn't stink.
My car will smell.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.